brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. Ah, I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where, never forget, Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. You know, that means that when you have a king, well, he is the king of that king. That means when you have a lord, he is the lord of that lord. That means if you have a president, he is the president of that president. So globally, around the world, whatever leadership there may be, it is subject to the lordship of the King of Kings. It is subject to the rule of the King of Kings. It is subject to whatever it is that the King of Kings establishes. It will ultimately be brought to account based on that. See, this is where people need to be, have an understanding heart. You see, right now in the world that we live in, people that are in positions of power oftentimes forget that there is that they are still subject to the law of God. And those that are subject to the law of God, when this life is finished, all is brought into judgment. You know, when John the Baptist was being held by Herod, Herod liked to listen to him, and he knew he was a godly man. But whenever he talked about, you know, judgment to come and those kind of things, it freaks him out. It scared him, because it would remind him for a moment. Or actually, no, this is, I'm sorry, this is, I'm talking about Paul. When Paul was held in the book of Acts, it would freak him out, because when they knew that, you know, the leadership at the time that was holding him knew that this life would end. And when this life ends, that their lives would be brought to account. You know, that's why so many people, wicked people on their deathbed, are so terrified of leaving this life, because they know that they are not ready. They know that they're not ready for this life to close. See, children of God are ready for this life to close. We are. You and I, we're ready for this life to be finished. We're ready for this life to be over at any time. So if this life was to end tomorrow, we'd be good. If this life was to end 50 years from now, sure, fine, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. So for us, you know, life and what life is and what life will be is not, it doesn't really matter too much, apart from, you know, hey, as long as we're in step with the living God, it's cool. But we are ready to leave this life. We are ready to depart from this existence. And because we're ready to leave this life, we're also ready to live this life. See, when you're ready to leave, you're ready to live. I'll say it again. When you're ready to leave, you're ready to live. You know, because when you're ready, when that part is resolved, and that's a big part, that's a big part of what life is being ready to die. Because unless you're ready to die, you're not really ready to live. A lot of people spend their entire existence trying to keep themselves from having to depart with this life, which is the ultimate foolish exercise, because all that have come into this world, not a soul has came into this world to stay in this world. This whole place has been transitory. So, but for those that have taken their window of time here and done everything they can to buffer themselves, pad themselves, extend their life, and even so much of what they've done has been to the hurt and the harm of others, to the destruction of the world, to the destruction of the planet, to the destruction of other lives and other families, to the destruction of animals that live on this life, that we are supposed to have dominion, but we're also supposed to care. We're supposed to care for this life and for this world and for this, the plants, the animals, everything around us. We're supposed to have care for those things, because we are stewards of them. When Adam was put in charge of the garden, he was given stewardship. It was his duty to care for the things that were there. God put him in charge of that. But man, depraved man, apart from God, has destroyed it. And for what? For the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You know, actually, you know, if you trace it down, when you get to the root, if you trace a plant to the root, you go past the branches and all the manifestations, the fruit. Like, okay, look at a tree, right? Or look at a fruit, you know, bush, whatever. Look at a plant. When you look at that plant and you see it, and you may see different fruit, different manifestation, but, you know, you go down through that, the leaves, you look at the branches, everything. But if you go down to the root of it, and at the root of it, if you have the love of money, well, that will be out of which it'll be the root of all kinds of evil. Because you know what? When people love money, it manifests in all kinds of different ways. And when they love that, money translates in this world system into a lot of stuff. It translates into possession. It translates into power. It translates into importance. You know, if somebody has money in the world and the world system, and they know that person has money, they listen to that person. But when somebody is poor, they don't, and he can give the exact same advice, but that person's counsel is not as valued. You know, it was one of those emails that people send around. I usually don't read those things, but this one I did. And it was talking about this guy who was a world famous violinist. And he was a multi-million dollar violin and went and stood in the New York subway to play. And he played there for the better part of an hour. And over the course of that time, I think, you know, there was a handful of people that stopped, listened to him for a little while, but then kept going. And, I think he made about $20 or so. And this same guy, the night before, had performed to a packed house in New York. And where the average ticket, the nosebleed seats were like $100 plus on up. And on the same violin, in the same music that he had played. But the point, and it was a sociology experiment, they wanted to know, would people notice beauty? That kind of beauty, if it came at an inopportune time, in an unexpected way, in an unanticipated place, would they still see? And the answer is no. The answer was, because it's the same violin, same artist, but because of the context, they couldn't see. Because of the timing, they couldn't see. And, you know, a lot of life is like that. When people get sucked out of what's important and what's real, they end up getting pulled to all kinds of craziness. But the world, you can take the stupidest people in the world, but if they have money, people listen to them. They listen to their foolishness. So, yeah, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Why? Because there's people out there that want to be listened to. And they know if they have money, somebody will actually listen to them. Somebody will actually put importance upon them. So, you know, that and those that love money never have enough. Hello. I have seen that. Let me tell you. Those that love money never have enough. They never, ever, ever reach a point of godly contentment. You know, the thing is right now is that those that love money never, ever have enough. You can't, there's no satisfying them. There's never enough. Because they realize the access that gives them in the world and in the world system. You know, when they have money, they can buy. Because in the world system, everything's for sale. Did you know that? that in the world system, everything is for sale, everything can be bought. You can buy people's loyalty as long as you have it. As soon as you don't have it, loyalty's gone. You can buy people's loyalty, you can buy their friendship, you can buy their favor, you can get them to do whatever you want. Yeah, hey. And that's why they get so mad at the children of God, because the children of God are not for sale. The children of God can't be bought. The children of God actually have a backbone, actually have a spine. You know, yeah, we try our best we can to be at peace with people. But when it comes to our souls, they're not for sale, because we've already been washed and paid for by the blood of Jesus. We already belong to the King of Kings. So because we already belong to the King of Kings, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, for us, we're already, we already serve the HHH. We already serve the head honcho of heaven. You know, we already serve the number one. So why are we ever going to put ourselves under the lordship of something lower, something beneath? You know, we have direct access to the King of Kings. So why would we just go to a king? Why would we just go to a lord when we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Why would we worry about what man says when our lives are under the protection and the guidance of our eternal Creator, the lover of our soul? You know, while the world rages and carries on the way that it does, the people of God continue to go forward. Look, the love of money, as long as you're living in this life, listen, it's not going to go away. I mean, people are going to focus on that. People are going to go after that. So, look, you know, that's how the world runs. That's how people exist here. That's how they focus. So when that is the focus of most people that you meet, you are going to have a different mindset for yourself. You are going to have a different way that you relate for yourself. And you're going to have to realize that your priorities won't be theirs. Your thought process won't be their thought process. The way you make decisions won't be the way that they make decisions. Hello. So when they make decisions, they're making decisions to try to climb a ladder, to increase their wealth, to increase their power, to increase their position. Whereas the children of God, when we make a decision based on the leading and the directing of the Holy Spirit. If he says left, you go left. If he says right, you go right. And that means, too, that when it comes to finances and things like that, if stuff goes up, great. If stuff goes down, it's okay. Because we know the one that provides for us, and he already promised us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the things that you need, God would take care of them. So if you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, he'll take care of the rest. So whether that be a lot or whether that be not as much, it's fine. Because you know the source. And it is better for you to be in connection and walking with him than it is to worry about this other stuff. See, we don't think like the heathen do. We don't worry like the heathen do. We don't perplex like they do. You know why? Because also, too, I remember something God told me a long time ago, and I've seen it to be more and more true as time goes on. Those most opposed to the truth are those who think they have something to lose. And I've seen it. Seen it time and again. Is that when people are opposed to the truth and the light of the truth, it is because they have something to lose in their own mind. Because actually, it's the fact that they think they have something to lose. Not that they actually have something to lose, but that they think they have something to lose. Because when you realize the truth of the matter, look, every person passes through this life. Everybody. Nobody, there's nobody staying here. So If you think you own something here, you better get a reality check, because you don't own anything here. The same way that you received after you came into this life, whether it be the clothes that you're wearing right now, whether it be houses, lands, properties, wealth, whatever it is that you got in this life, you received it after you got here. And whatever it is that you got in this life, you're leaving it once you leave here. The only thing you take from this life into the next is your relationship with God and your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That's it. That's the only thing that'll carry on from this life into the next. So, you might as well focus on the things that you actually take on from here. Doesn't that make sense? Why wouldn't you rather, if that's what's going to carry on from this life into the next, wouldn't you rather focus your time, your energy, your efforts, your resources on that which will carry on from this life into the next? I mean, why would you put all of your eggs into building a castle on the sand on the seashore? Why would you do everything there, a sandcastle that's just going to get knocked over when the tide comes in? But a lot of people, that's how they think. A lot of people, that's how they relate. And you know what? Other people think like that too. And when you're surrounded by enough people that are all going in a particular direction, they keep each other in check. Self-monitoring, they just keep each other in that same line. No, I tell you, that which is important, that which is necessary, that which is real. Our Heavenly Father is in charge, has control, and has your life. You know, you put your life in His hands, He'll take care of it. If you don't put your life in His hands, okay, you want to try to manage it? Go for it. But you realize your limitation. And more in this day and in this age, I tell you, we talked about it recently a few different times. You have got to learn to flow with God. You've got to learn it. You've got to read John chapter 3. Look, read it. Read what Jesus said that the people of God are like. You have got to be willing to flow with Him. That's the only way. That is the only way that you're going to walk through this life. You need to learn to flow with Him. Stay in step with Him. Walk with Him. Listen to the sound of His voice. And when He speaks to you, follow. You know, He knows where you are. He knows your frame. He knows what you struggle with. Look, God knows what you struggle with. He knows where you are. So all you have to do is bring your struggles before Him. You know, I think learning how to pray and be real with God was a big transition point in my own life. In my own life of prayer, for sure. Because instead of that, you know, doing those, "Oh, thou that flung the stars in the sky and holdeth up the firmament by thine greatness." I mean, just forget that. Open up your heart and let there be communication. You know, God wants for you to open up your heart and just communicate with Him. Just be raw. Just be real. That's what He wants. He wants that for you, and He wants that in you. Because you were designed to have a real relationship with the living God. You weren't designed to be made to just kind of fumble through life. Now realize that many around you don't care about that. Realize that many around you are just committed to being part of the world, part of the world system, given over to it. Don't see, they're on that wheel. They're on that a hamster wheel running around in circles, realize that that's where they are and let them be. Let the dead bury the dead. You go on with Christ. You carry on with what God is doing. And you know what? God is creative. He's got ways of making things work for His people. And He will. He will make it work for you. That which you need, He'll take care of. You don't have to worry about that. But you do have to trust Him. You do have to listen to His voice. You do have to, when He gives you a direction, you do have to take it. When He gives you a course of action, you do have to go with it. If you don't, you will be in regret. Because later in life, as time goes on, you will regret it. Because you know the point where He is speaking to you and you chose not to go with that. But you know what? Listen. He's merciful too. And He knows you struggle. And just take it before Him. Wherever you are right now in life, with whatever it is that you struggle with, just take it before Him. And know that He that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He's not going to leave you sidelined. He's not. He's not going to leave you helpless. For those that trust in Him, He takes care of them. He's always taking care of those that are His. You know, I mean, when you call out to God in a difficult situation, He'll always meet you where you're at. Because you know why? There's not a man in this world that's in control. He's in control. And though people make their plans and plot and do all of their stuff, the King of Kings is in control ultimately. And He settles accounts. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And when God repays, oh boy, you don't want to be there. Because scriptures say that if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? And I would, along those same lines, ask the question, if God be against you, who can help you? If God be against you, who can help you? So, the Lord settles accounts. And when He settles accounts, if God be against you, if the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, if the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is against you, you don't have a prayer. This entire universe cannot save you. Nothing can save you from His hand. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Keep that in mind, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Don't forget that we serve the one that's above it all. The most powerful is ours. We are His, He is ours. And know that He has you. And all is in control. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Or drop us a note on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, on Facebook, and you will find us. So, hey, we appreciate you out there, and we look forward to catching up with you again really soon. Talk to you later. Bye.